Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Our gospel reading this morning is from the Gospel of Luke, the fourth chapter, verses 14 through 21. Then Jesus, filled with the power of the Spirit, returned to Galilee, and a report about him spread through all the surrounding country. He began to teach in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. When he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." May we be blessed in the hearing of God's good news.
This past week, we acknowledged the one-year anniversary of the inauguration of Barack Obama as president. And we have all lived through enough inaugurations, whether it's at a national level or even the inauguration of a mayor or an alderperson or anything, governor, to know that an inauguration is the start or at least a marking point of something new. And generally at those kinds of occasions, the person who's being inaugurated sets out their mission statement, their vision, their plan for where we're all supposed to go and what we're all supposed to do. And being human beings, it doesn't matter if it's at a local or a national level, there is almost always extreme conflict and arguing about that. That would be normal. Okay. Scripture scholars, theologians, refer to this particular passage in Scripture as Jesus' inaugural address, where Jesus sets out for all to hear his plan, God's strategic mission for how the kingdom of God on earth is supposed to look like. The poor are set free. The captives are set free. Sight is given to the blind. A year of jubilee, a time of favor for the Lord. And you can imagine, just as in Jesus' time, that his mission statement, his inaugural words, were heard with great joy by some and with not such great joy by others. In Jesus' time, we all know Rome ruled. They were under the Roman Empire. But empire wasn't as we think of empire, sort of this one massive conquering an organization of people under one power. The Roman Empire was composed of city-states, nation-states, and each of them had their own government. They could make their own institutions, how things were going to run. They could have their own religious practices. They could have God or gods. They could have cults, whatever it was, as long as it didn't upset the Roman peace. Right? And as long as they paid taxes. Okay. In Jesus' time in Israel, the ruling elites in that territory were the Jewish clericals, the clergy, the Herodians, the Pharisees, the scribes, the temple priests. They controlled all of that. The income, the monitoring of the taxes, all those things in Jesus' time, there was that ruling elite, there were also the poor and the peasants, those who worked the land, who were the majority of people. And as I was doing some research this week for my sermon, I discovered that they were a whole lot poorer than I thought they were. Okay? They weren't just farmers living off the land. They were farmers who were farming other people's land. 50% of what they grew went to the landowner. Another 25% went to Roman taxes. Another 10% went to the temple, to sort of, you know, temples need upkeep, just like a church does. Okay? And then they had to use 3% more to buy their own seed and things for the following year. So ultimately, they lived off 12% of what they made. So into this world, Jesus comes and goes to the synagogue like he normally would do on a Sunday. And he's got these two very different groups of people. One who are hearing these words says, these are the words we have longed to hear. The oppressed will go free. The captives will go free. Sight will be given to the blind. A year of Jubilee. And the year of Jubilee in those times came every 50 years. And every 50 years, the playing field was leveled. Debts were canceled. Land was given back to the people who owned the land. Wealth was completely redistributed, so that everybody was on a level playing field. And what Jesus was proclaiming was not only a year of the Lord's favor, but the rest of time as the Lord's favor, as equality, as justice, as healing, as transformation. So you can imagine, to the people who had a lot of wealth, these were not particularly joyful words to hear. To the other folks who didn't have anything, these were awesome words to hear. In next week's gospel, we'll hear that where the fight starts to begin. Some were so enraged that they wanted to kill Jesus. Others rejoiced and followed him. And so what does that have to do with us? In this gospel, Jesus calls us to wholeness, just as he called the people of that time to wholeness. Wholeness of community, wholeness of self, wholeness of family, wholeness of nation. He reminded them, love God with everything that you have, as we heard in Deuteronomy, with your whole heart, with your whole mind, with your whole spirit, with your whole strength. And if we do that, if we take the risk and do that, that means God will actually transform us. And that's the terrible and frightening thing, as well as the joyful thing. God's word is not a safe word. It's not a symbolic word or something nice and decorative that we do on Sunday. I want to share just a couple of quotes with you I found this week. Justice regaining the changes of sight can change the whole life of a person. So opening our eyes to the truth of the gospel and then having eyes to see will transform us completely. The poor, then and now, represent not only those in economic poverty, but those who live on the margins and those who live on the margins or outside of our communities, but all of us who are poor spiritually. It is not only justice that matters or inclusion, it is a spiritual healing and wholeness. It's salvation that we are about, not just in the sense of making our way to heaven, or for persuading others to accept our belief. And the final one is, we have buildings, budgets, staff, and members, but do we have the power of the Holy Spirit? Jesus claimed the power of the Holy Spirit right at the beginning of the reading. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He sent me to bring good same Spirit of the Lord is upon us. Jesus knew God so intimately in a way that we can't understand. We can get glimpses of here. He knew God's love so intimately. And because he knew God's love so intimately, he also knew the power of the Spirit and claimed it. And that's what we are called to do. But how do we do that today? Sunday, January 22nd, I think it is? Fourth? Okay, well, see? This is where I need to hold this. How do we do that today? We've got so many things on our mind. We're grandparents. We're parents. We're business people. We're teenagers. We're unemployed. We're divorced. We're new parents. We're church members. We're community members. We're leaders. We're all these different things. How do we proclaim the good news of God? How do we claim the power of the Spirit that has been given to all of us? How do we become the whole people of God, individually, as families, and as a church? That's a tough question. I'm going to ask you to do something that, as Congregationalists, you've probably never done before. Okay? In the Episcopal Church, it would be a little edgy, too. We call ourselves God's frozen chosen. Okay? What I'm going to ask you to do, and choir, this includes you, okay, is on the count of three, I'm going to ask you to stand up, and I'm going to ask some of you to face forward the way we normally face. And I'm going to ask some of you to face any other direction. Okay? You ready? One, two, three. Okay? Just stay there for a minute. I am going to pose to you that this is what our interior life looks like. We want to go. We want to be good followers of Christ, but we are going in so many directions that it is hard to feel centered and know which way to go. Could you imagine worshiping like this? Everybody face forward. Feels a little better, doesn't it? Okay, you can sit down. That's what being a Christian is about. Is orienting ourselves towards what is front and center. And what is front and center is Jesus Christ. And I admit, it's hard to do that, but that is what Jesus calls us to do. Jesus calls us to the wholeness of that. Part of my job here is to introduce ways and programs to this community about becoming whole persons so that we can better live out our faith in the world. Lent is only a few weeks away, believe it or not. Seems like we just got done with Christmas. Okay. I'm going to be starting a new program called The Living Compass. A way to reorient ourselves, to use the stuff of our everyday lives, all of the things that are pulling us, to reorient that around Christ and to take tiny little steps so that we can become the people that God wants us to be. Most of us are probably not going to solve peace in Iraq to be called to go over there. Most of us are probably not actually going to go to Haiti to do rescue work. Most of us are probably not going to go into the inner city and do some things there. But we are called to do some serious work here. Serious work on becoming the whole people of God, individually and as families and as a community, so that we may know the power of the Spirit that is within us and live that out in our everyday lives. Imagine, just imagine, how God's dream of the year of Jubilee of the kingdom of God being present on this earth, not just some distant future eternal life. Just imagine what our world would look like if we claimed our power as children of God and as people of the Holy Spirit, as whole, holy people. I invite you to check out Living Compass. I invite you to wholeness. I invite you to recentering, to reorienting. God calls this place and this people to do great things.